There's been some times where I've been in services where as soon as somebody opened up their mouth and began to sing, it was like the praises of God came down. I've been in other services where when the Spirit of God moved, it caused someone to grieve in their spirit, to cry. I've been in services where people took authority and had a boldness on them rarely seen in these days. But then I've been in some services like we're in tonight, where there are things that are in the works that are out of our sight that are coming. And the Lord speaks and gives us the wisdom on how to handle what is to come. And by that wisdom, we can learn and understand how to be prepared when the enemy tries to come as a wolf in sheep's clothing. I begin to pray, well, God, when are the times that the enemy's really trying to press in on God's people? And the Lord spoke to me and said this very peculiar word. He said that he even comes in a whisper to slip into somebody's mind, even when they're not aware of what's trying to happen. We need to be prepared as not just a generation of give me, give me, give me, but to stand in the gap for those that are in real in true persecution. And we need to be able to pray for people instead of just coming in and always worrying about what's number one on our list. There are people that are truly suffering. There's a song that's on the radio right now that talks about doing something. That it, you know, if it's not me, then who is it going to be? If it's not going to be you, then who is it going to be? Children, we are that generation that Jesus has called to go forth and to perform the same works that he taught the disciples. We are that generation that's to shake off the enemy the same way that they had to, even in situations that were up and coming that were going to be difficult. So don't walk away tonight and think that you didn't receive the wisdom and knowledge for what is to come. The Lord has spoken it time and time again of these days that were coming. I'm here to tell you that the devil is looking for who's not ready. So let me ask you tonight, are you ready? Are you preparing for what is out there? Will famine shake your house? Will destruction of property cause you to turn away? Will threatenings cause you to give up on the cause of Christ? Friend, there are people that are facing this battle right now, and we find ourselves not even being able to come in and have church when we're free to. When we are able to, where nobody's saying don't do it, where nobody's saying I'll kill you if you do, but having the ability to, but yet withholding because we stand in this place in our mind where the devil is attacking and looking for our weaknesses. And all the Lord has told us to do is to take these cares and to give it to him. Jesus told his disciples, take no thought for what you'll even eat or what you'll wear. He didn't tell them to starve and walk around naked, but he said, don't worry about the smaller things that get you through the week. He said to look at the bigger picture of what was to come. And he talked about the coming of the Lord. He talked about how things were going to get worse and not to be afraid of the small things that are going on. But he wants us to be concerned for those that are not ready. And that's why I'm here tonight. I want to prepare you so that you can be prepared and tell somebody else, are you ready? Because there's people that think they're ready. There's people that even say, Lord, Lord, that when they enter in, God will not know them. Because what they need in here is missing. It's only lip service, and they need something more. The only way they'll be drawn to something more, if is something more comes out of you and is demonstrated by the signs and wonders of God. It's the manifestation of his glory in your life. And when you let it out and let somebody know it, somebody's wanting what you've got. This I do know. When people get mad enough and they see the satisfaction that they get, all of a sudden their attitude is negative. You get around a conversation of negativity, before you know it, everybody's got a reason to complain. But this should never be a place where we complain about our lack or our sufferings, but this should be a place where we get strength for our weakness. But there's something that must come to pass so that we be ready, and the Lord wants to bring it out tonight, and that is obedience. Preached on faith, patience, love, humility, and sacrifice. And I thought when the Lord gave this to me, it's the first time he's gave me something so broad. He gave it to me so quickly I couldn't get it all wrote down in time. I just had to write one little sentence here and there to try to put it all together. And when I was praying, I was asking, God, why are you sending me something that is so big and so peculiar? Because I thought that this word was going to be bigger than I could even preach it, more than I could even understand. But the Lord was showing me, Jared, I'm giving you a word that will prepare the people people for an hour that when they are in need and stand in true destruction, that they'll not give up in the middle of the trouble, but they'll be faithful to hang on and believe. Glory to God, the devil's wanting you to give up right now, but the Lord's saying tonight is your night to keep on walking. You've got to keep on walking for Jesus, and you can't give up now. I'm walking with you. Can somebody in here tonight give me a witness that you're hanging on to the good Lord's hand? Can somebody testify tonight that you're going to still believe? Let everybody around you know. Look at everybody and say, I'm still holding on. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm still holding on. Look at somebody and say, the Lord's coming. Are you ready? I want to read a few scriptures. I always intend not to take too long, but every time I try not to take too long, it takes me twice as long to get done. So I'm just going to get right to where the anointing is leading me right now. Read with me in 1 Samuel chapter 15. We'll begin reading. We're just going to read one verse from here. All right, if you're there with me, say amen. Amen. All right, here we go. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken the fat of rams. This word was coming from Samuel the prophet and was being spoken over Saul, who had came into a moment where he was greedy over the spoils of war and chose to keep for himself. And by this decision, the prophet spoke this over him and said, it is far more value to you to do the will of the Father rather than to heap up things that you have and to give them up at some point in time. We preached on the importance of sacrifice. So I'm going to clarify right now that there are things you must lay down in this life. But I'm here to tell you that it's not only in what you lay down for God that changes your life, but it's also what you will do when He speaks to you to do it. There are so many people, this is going to be profound, but I'm going to say it. There are people that could be saved today, but by our disobedience, they're still lost. There is somebody, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, that needed you to say more than what you said. There are people in this church that need you to be active more than you're being active now. I'm not discarding the obedience that was present tonight, but what I'm talking about is the true substance of God that lies within. Because if we're going through things, it's hard to praise Him, right? If we're going through difficult things, it's hard to open our mouth. But when we get in a good time, we have the ability to thank Him. But yet within ourselves, we withhold the spoil of what was meant to be given back unto the Lord. There are things out there that you can try to glory in, but you will surely fail. There are things out there that you can withhold in you. We preach this about sacrifice, that unless you learn to lay it down, that will never learn how to truly grow in God. For there are things to be learned about the things that you lay down. You not only lay down the substance, but you also gain knowledge on why it was harmful to you. I am not as though I was, and I am delivered from drugs, but not only because I laid them down am I delivered, but I'm delivered by the knowledge of the truth of how it was going to destroy me. Friends, there is a burning lake of fire that's going to come one day, and I know that all of us that are saved can say, praise God, I'm not going there. But there are people out there tonight that are missing out on the promise because we're withholding what is already God's anyway. He speaks to us to give it, but we want to hold on to it. He speaks for us to obey Him, yet we withhold on every good thing that He gives us, because if we just get one good week, we think that it is just for us to enjoy. But the Lord has blessed me this week, and I'm not going to sit at home and just have a party for me, but I'm here having a celebration, for I know in whom I believe, and I know that those that will obey Him shall be blessed and highly favored. The devil can tolerate people shouting, but what the devil will not tolerate is faith in Christ. When you begin to be faithful over a few things, it causes you to do things you never would have done. I remember the first time I ever let a shout out before. There have been many times before that I'd said to myself, it is not something I have to do. I'm thinking to myself, I'm happy, I'm satisfied. Lord, you know how much I love you. But then I start feeling his presence. And it was like every time I begin to feel God, it would always come back to that one thing that the Lord was wanting to bring out of me. I held on to this shout for probably a year and a half. I was so ashamed of how it was going to sound, who was going to look at me. I was afraid I would spook somebody and scare them to their death. I didn't know how much that it was going to help me, or I would have did it the first time I heard it. So then that day finally came. It wasn't a shout down service. It wasn't a good time to do it. But I couldn't hold it in any longer. There just comes a time when if God has done enough for you, that it is going to flow out of you like rivers of living water. I'll never forget the feeling, because I realized as soon as I let it loose that everything that kept me from letting it loose had held me in bondage, until I realized that I was free to praise him any time that I ever so pleased. And every time that he moved on me, whether it was a shout, a run, a dance, a clap, another song, getting in and preaching the word, I just began to yield to him. And when I yielded to him, things in my life began to change. Things around me began to not have as much of a hold, because I said to myself, you know what, Lord? If I have the power to shout, then surely I have the power to speak unto this devil and say that you've held on to me and my house long enough, and I'm going to take back what is rightfully mine. And that obedience causes my borders to be enlarged. And the more that you put a distance between you and when Satan can attack your mind, the more time that you'll have to pray, the more time that you'll have to study, the more time that you'll have to be prepared to face what is out there. But we are to the place now. I'm just going to put it out there. We're to the place now where obedience has become obligation. And only when I can get something, for when I do something, does it matter to me. We get encouraged when somebody says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Those things that you desire when you ask, when you pray, believe it and you can receive them. That gets exciting. But sometimes what God sends back our way when we ask for one thing isn't necessarily what we were asking for. Some of my greatest growth did not come from things that God just openly gave me. But it was times when I had to be warned, when I had to be chastened, when I had to be told that it was time to turn from what I was into, that it was time to let him grow me up in my mind. If I lived in my frame of mind that I used to be, I would not be strong in the Lord. Some of you say, brother, you're strong. You're steadfast. You hang on. I'm not what I once was back here, but God has changed me, not only for what I laid down and gave up, but the times when I took a stand and just let it rip and let somebody know that there's a reason to have this inside of you. But as much as we come in and demonstrate how much we do not enjoy what we are doing out of obligation, people don't feel any conviction. And with no conviction comes no drawing of the power of God through the witness of the saints. I would not be delivered if somebody didn't obey God. Can anybody testify about that? Where would you be if somebody didn't preach the word to you when you were younger? Where would you be if your parents didn't bring you to church? Where would you be if somebody that saw you in your iniquity came to you and said, I love you, brother? Where would you be if we didn't have the obedience of the saints? You can get in that boat if you want to, where it's just only just to do for what I can get and just to do whenever I feel like it. But there is a spirit that speaks to me every single day of my life and shows me the things to eat, things to drink, things I shouldn't do, things I shouldn't say, teaches me how to do my job, teaches me how to drive my car, teaches me how to be responsible, leads me in my everyday life, and most of all, keeps my mind away from the attacks of the enemy. For without obedience, everything else that you can try is not as effective. Because then you're just sitting there with stuff you've laid down. I had to obey him after he changed me. Because he did not change me for nobody to know. He did not ever heal me for me not to broadcast. He did not give me wisdom for me never to share. He did not give me a song to never sing. He did not give me love to never give. He did not give me charity to withhold it. He did not give me a heart for others, for me to only think about me. But God has blessed us so much. I wish I could bring it out of you the way I feel it. He has done so much for us. If you really thought about it, and if you really got centered in on the things God has done, then everything else, it doesn't seem as hard when you trust Him. Everything else doesn't seem as tall if you get in the vision of faith. He has made my mountains to be molehills. He has made the things that in my perspective I didn't see a way through. But He took what was a mountain and caused me to see that through Jesus Christ I can do all things through Him who is my strength. Many of you stand before mountains, but friends, you still have to obey Him. We learn from the example of Jonah, who received a word to go unto Nineveh, I believe, and to give a word that God had given him. But yet within him, he withheld his obedience. And by that obedience, it caused him to be the odd man out on a boat in the middle of the sea. But you see, God did not leave him when they threw him out into the water. He did not forsake him, but gave him the opportunity to learn and understand how important it was to go and do what the Lord told him to do. You might have failed all the days, all the months before tonight, but the Lord said that enough is enough, and tonight's going to be the dawn of a new day, that we're going to turn this thing around, and we're going to learn from the lessons of our failures and learn from the times that God has spoke and we withheld on Him, that when we obey Him, that others can receive the promise. He didn't leave him in the well. He brought him all the way out to where all he had to do is go and do his will. How many of you see Jesus Christ in that well? That where man should have deserved to be destroyed, out of God's compassion, he took him and gave him another chance. How many second chances has God give you just to do what you're called to do? How many times? It's like that song, how many times must I prove how much I love you? And how many ways must my love for you I show? And how many times must I bring you safely through for you to know just how much I love you? He did not leave him in the fish, but brought him forth into the place where he could decide, Lord, I'm going to do this. So you might feel like that you have said no so much that you can never get back up again and be who you are. But the Lord is speaking a prophetic word to you tonight. Hear me. I feel it. Don't look back at your past and define yourself by the times you said no. But look forward and dig within your heart and find that person in you that's going to say, yes, God. For when you do that, the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you, but go with you always, even unto the end. Aren't we glad that Jonah had a choice? Aren't you glad that you even have the opportunity to decide whether you want to praise Him or not want to praise Him? I have a choice to eat right or not eat right. Now, I'm guilty enough to say that there's plenty of times I didn't make the right choice. And how many of you have been in that position where you're like, oh, Lord, what have I done? Oh, what have I done this time? And if we continue to withhold all the times that God blesses us, we just get to a place where we have every reason in the world to say, thank you, Lord. But we withhold it, and in ourselves, we're just sitting around thinking, oh, Lord, what have I done? How many people could have been blessed for me just to do my part? You're not doing this to get everybody to clap their hands for you. You're not doing this to get everybody to tell you good job. You're not doing this to get everybody to be in favor with you and be your BFF and be the most popular out there in this world. You're not doing these things, oh, to be in the cool club. But every time that you obey God, there will be attacks of the enemy. There will be persecution. But Jesus said, they did it to me first. I was persecuted before you you ever were. So that lets me know that even though it hurts me, that his blood is what covers me from ever feeling the stripes the way that he did. Hallelujah. It lets me know that the crown of thorns that people put on me today doesn't hurt me like it hurt him when they put it on him. There's a barrier around me. There's a hedge put about me. The devil said, Lord, let me touch Job, but I can't because there's something around him. There's a hedge about him. Aren't you glad that God put a hedge about you when he covered you with the blood of Christ? So when you go to obey him, you just need to remind yourself. It's sort of like having insurance. I'm covered. And if I get a bump here or there, I might have to pay a little bit. I might have to give something up, but I'm covered. What an assurance to have in Jesus Christ. We're losing the affections of our first love because we get caught up in the world and what they tell us to desire, what they tell us we need to fight for, tell us to heap up to a retirement. But my retirement is not what I'm looking forward to. When the Lord comes to get me, I'm not going to get to reap anything out of that anyway. What I'm looking forward to is when I can lay down this body, lay down this life, lay down these sorrows, and enter into a joy that I've never even begun to comprehend. Our minds can't even comprehend it. So even if we could see it, we wouldn't understand it. Let's read on. Let's read in Hosea chapter 6. And it says, for I desire mercy, then verse 6 of Hosea chapter 6, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. While it's important to lay off the things that God wants to have from you, it is not as significant as your obedience. Yeah, you're here and I'm so glad you are. But that's not where the road ends. There is more to go on through. There is more to be done. You think that you've came as far as you can go in God, but he said if you'll be willing to keep going, that there's a road that's even greater. Hallelujah, the way the world's going, the way is broad, and it leads unto destruction. The way that he leads everybody is to be accepting of everything. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. It's all right to believe that. It's all right to have this opinion. And as that way gets broader, then you walk amongst those that will draw you away with every form of wickedness. Without obedience, we're led in a bad direction. Mark chapter 12, verse 33 says, to love him with all your heart, with all your mind, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifice. To love them more than you love you will cause you to obey God for them. To love people more than yourself, you'll come in and pay the price so that someone else can find Christ. Some of the times where I've seen people saved, Odiva, I was the most tired. I was the most aggravated, the most discontent in my life. And I look back on it now and I say, God, you saw. Why did it have to be that the blessing came when I was suffering so much? And he showed me that through the suffering of Christ came my blessing. When we follow after Christ, we're saying that we're willing to suffer. When we say we'll follow Christ, you know what you're saying? I'm going to be obedient. When you say you love God, you're saying that you'll be obedient for others before yourself. Foot washing service, Jesus didn't get down and wash his own feet. But there were those that felt led to go and do it out of love. Yeah, amen. And that is one of the most humbling things, because in that time, they didn't have odor readers and Dr. Scholl's and gold bond medicated powder. They walked around in shoes and oftentimes went days before they went and washed their feet. So there was no greater of a humbling thing to do than to get down and wash the trodden feet. And there was a woman that even came to Christ and washed his feet even with her very hair. What kind, you know, and you read that and it's like, what kind of degrading act that is to have someone that just got ready for church and God had got their dress and their cardigan on, and man, they sure look good. They've got their hairspray in, and man, I wasted $10 of hairspray just to get this exactly where I have it. And just imagine losing all of your looks, all of your good stuff, just to get down and do something that causes you to look the most foolish. What a mystery there is to have right there. What a mystery there is. That's why he said the foolishness of preaching would be effective to the confounding of those that think they know everything. Because out of the degrading thing, I feel like a fool sometimes when I'm up here. I'm going to be honest with you. I plumb feel like a fool. But I don't care, because what I get out of this, when I see you begin to grow in God, is far more worth to me than anything that I could go and get on my own. It's far greater than for me to just set up my own offerings, to just obey God, to edify each other.